Live from the CBS studios in San Francisco, we'll begin with some of the most dramatic damage from storms that battered coastal communities like Capitola. Governor was the first to visit, followed by the president this week. Devin Feely reports the damage and the impact of people's lives will linger long after those visits.
The damage to the historic Capitola Wharf is a testament to the mighty power of Mother Nature and the combination of wind and water that knocked the pier like a battering ram.
We're really at Mother Nature's mercy.
David Morris is the owner of Capitola Boat and Bait, one of two businesses that call the wharf home.
We're sitting ducks. We can't do anything. This will be shut down until this wharf is repaired.
Pounding surf and whipping wind clawed out a chunk of the pier. David's boat rental business survived but is effectively cut off, unreachable during a critical period during the off-season.
We have repairs that need to be done on quite a few of those boats out there. And without those repairs, we can't put the boats in the water.
Time in coastal communities like Capitola is marked by the tides and the ebb and flow of each year's tourism season, which officially begins on April 1st. So what's the likelihood the wharf will be repaired and ready to go by then?
Our goal is to be able to start a project up this fall and then wrapping it up hopefully a year from now.
City Manager Jamie Goldstein says Capitola was already planning to widen and renovate the wharf this fall, and it just makes sense to roll the renovations and repairs into a single project.
When we've looked at just doing a pure repair project, one of the things we see is that best case scenario, we could be wrapping up those repairs just in time to commence the cost of to start the new big renovation project. And that just doesn't make any sense.
But that's not comforting news for David Morris, whose business is effectively dead in the water until the wharf reopens.
My employees are my number one. I mean, they are the backbone of every business out here is our employees. Without our employees, none of us have a business.
Capitola Boat and Bait employs six people in the off-season and more than a dozen in the spring and summer. Well, crews in the East Bay are trying to figure out when they might be able to reopen Cedar Lane in Orinda. It's been partly closed because one home is sliding down a hillside and another could be right behind it. The homeowners say they're grateful that they've got supportive neighbors.
I wondered how safe our house, being that we're next door to the one with the big slide, is. And he said, you know, it's fine. This is just kind of a momentous experience, and we're just, I'm so happy about the neighbors and all the empathy they're showing.
The city of Orinda red tagged the first house as being unsafe, and they yellow tagged the second one, warning the owners to be careful and avoid parts of the house. Meantime, ACE train service suspended until Monday after trains got stuck in mudslides in Alameda County earlier this week. Tuesday and Wednesday, a slide stranded more than 200 passengers in Niles Canyon between Pleasanton and Fremont. Nobody was hurt in Tuesday's slide, but three people did end up with minor injuries on Wednesday. Parts had some problems too this weekend. Equipment issues led to the Embarcadero station filling with smoke this morning. Officials tell us they think the train hit something in the Transbay tube. Red and green lines temporarily canceled, but all service is now back up and running. A stark contrast to a ribbon cutting taking place at the 19th Street BART station. John Ramos reports.
It's taken 7 years just to complete the upgrades to the 19th Street station here in Oakland. But now that that's finished, the question is, what will it really take to get riders back to the transit system? It feels like ages since BART stations looked like this. Now, even after the pandemic, ridership on the trains is only about 30% of normal. So transit officials gathered at Oakland's 19th Street station to celebrate the completion of a renovation project a long time coming.
This goes way back to 2016. Gosh, and this is 2023. But we made it, and it's because all of you here.
The station has been opened up with lots of walls and obstructions removed. Lighting has been improved, and glass now replaces the old brick barriers. A new bathroom with an attendant has been added, as well as a second elevator. And colorful artwork now graces some of the staircases.
This is a refurbishment of a 50-year-old station that needed to have a serious renewal.
But what they're really hoping for is a renewal of enthusiasm for riding the system. State Senator Nancy Skinner summed up the problem.
If our transit is not functioning well, and if it doesn't feel good to go to the stations, then the ridership goes down.
The fact is, riding BART hasn't felt good for a long time. Riders have complained for years that the cars are dirty, smell bad, and are subject to delays due to everything from driver sick outs to equipment breakdowns. District Director Robert Rayburn acknowledges the current feeling in the community.
It's negative. It's negative. And we're doing everything we can to change that, because we have changed with the new train cars, with the refurbishment of the train system, with how we police the system. And those are all elements of making our passengers welcome to come back.
But Edward Inocencio says he has seen real improvement since the days when the cars felt like they were falling apart.
They did say that before, but now they, you know, they all saying it's nice and everything, you know, because especially the train is right smooth, you know, it's not loud as before. You know.
So they've done better?
Done better, yes, exactly.
BART officials say safety is the main concern of riders, and Jim Molina Page says he's seen all kinds of drug use on his commute to his evening job, but he thinks that may be the problem that is out of BART's control.
I think the bigger issues like mental health, and I think the bigger issues like what the city's doing, that like BART is just like a side thing, you know what I mean?
The biggest problem for public transit may lie with the public rather than the transit, but it's still affecting the agency's reputation, and it may take more than a ribbon cutting of a 7-year-old project to turn things around.
The 19th Street renovation cost taxpayers more than $70 million. The only part of the project that they haven't finished yet is the installation of new gates to stop fare evasions. Well, this is sad news out of Marin. A woman died after her Tesla crashed through a fence and into a pool in San Rafael. Crews used a crane to remove the car. The CHP said the woman was not wearing her seatbelt, and she died after her car hit the wall of that pool. They don't know if the car she was in self-driving mode at the time of the crash. A struggling San Jose business district has been hit with another blow, the destruction of a mural. Len Ramirez talked to leaders in Alum Rock Village who think that this vandalized mural will not be the last.
This is the Alum Rock Business Village. This thing is historic.
Of all the problems merchants in the Alum Rock Village have had to contend with over the years, graffiti is one of the most consistent.
It's mostly immigrant businesses here, and they work so hard.
Jesse Haro has seen it all, both as a founding member of ARVAC, the Alum Rock Village Action Committee, and as a lifelong neighbor. But even he is shaking his head over this latest tagger attack.
Yeah, this is really, it breaks my heart.
The destruction of the beloved mural entitled Libertad with several large graffiti tags came as a shock to the neighborhood. It was created in 2019 by art students at James Lick High School and symbolized why many of their immigrant families came to the U.S. Police are investigating. We're blurring out the tags to not give any name recognition.
We took a lot of pride in this. We worked, you know, for months, you know, chaperoning the students and watching the teachers. And the students get so excited and passionate about what they were doing here.
This is what the wall looked like before the mural went up, after years of tagging and paint overs. It was hoped the mural would deter graffiti. The property owner even installed security lights and a fence around the mural to protect it. It went 3 years untouched. Dr. Hien Nguyen, who has a dental practice here, is afraid graffiti is spinning out of control again.
Even though we want to make it beautiful, as you can see, all of these graffiti marks are covering up the beauty of the neighborhood, and they're bringing everyone to fear coming to the village.
Alum Rock Village dates back to the 1930s and is home to the well-known Peter's Bakery, the last of the original businesses still operating. In hopes of ending the cycle of graffiti, ARVAC began commissioning murals to be painted on its most tagged walls. One neighbor says the unwritten rule of the streets was violated here.
Street code is respect the murals.
Jesse Haro is now worried about the history of Alum Rock mural on White Road, which depicts the neighborhood from ancient times till now.
Something we thought would deter tagging was unsuccessful.
Haro says the muralists did plan ahead. They coated the murals with a protective layer that could make it easier to remove the tags without damaging the art underneath.
I just want to somehow find this person and understand why.
Businesses say despite the setbacks of COVID, recessions, and now this, they'll keep on working to help this struggling business district survive. And as always, keep up the feeling that better days are ahead.
In San Francisco, the annual anti-abortion Walk for Life brought out activists on both sides this afternoon. Nearly 7 months after Roe v. Wade was overturned, anti-abortion activists gathered on Market Street. The West Coast Walk for Life says their work is not done, especially because California's passing of Proposition 1, which wrote the right to abortion into the state's constitution.
Nobody told you what your fetus, what your baby looked like in the womb. And if that could be more publicly known, that it might change people's minds.
On the other side of the issue, hundreds of pro-choice activists gathered nearby, leading chants and holding signs.
The only reason I'm in law school is because I had access to a safe abortion in 2012. I find it very important to be here because there's so many women who are not allowed to say their stories because of religion, because of their family, and I feel like it is time for us to rise up.
Among the counter-protesters were the Rise Up organization and the Raging Grannies. The FBI found more classified documents at President Biden's Delaware home. The president's lawyer says six documents were found during a 12-hour search yesterday. The DOJ said that it was a, quote, planned, consensual search. They found files that date from his time as a senator and as vice president. And a shakeup in the Biden administration could be in store. A number of reports say that the White House chief of staff, Ron Klain, has plans to step down in the coming weeks, although neither he nor the White House has confirmed that. But a source close to the matter says that his plan is to step down before the current investigation. San Francisco's Lunar New Year parade on Saturday, February 4th. For now, thanks for watching.